the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I see it popping up on my screen here, Jared. I'm sure you're well aware of it. Choppy, I heard choppy. So talking to the guy back there in the studio, sounds coming across a little choppy. I hope wherever you are listening to the show today, whether it be on YouTube or the Global Star Radio Network or Blog Talk Radio or over Pastor Mike Spalding's network. Sorry, I don't remember the name of that network. Shame on me. Got the one going on out in Utah. I ought to get up to date on all those. We're growing, we're expanding, and even though our message isn't popular, people are finding us. Kevin Bushy says, Coach, it's good. All right, thanks. Jared's on top of it. Yeah, people are finding us. And, you know, I keep coming back. Hey, we are in the middle of a revolution and we don't know it. We are, man. I'm telling you. And just like when we had Mark Taylor on last week, he said it's the institutions that are being judged. The institutions are being judged. Not so much people, but the institutions. And boy, you know, you look at what's going on. That is really, really true. And I want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow, we're going to have a show focused a little bit more on Bitcoin. I've received a lot of email from people since I first brought that up last weekend about Bitcoin. And others have begun to do research on it. And I've watched a lot of videos and others have watched a lot of videos. Steve Mencking is going to join us tomorrow morning and he's going to give us a brief overview of what he sees as far as Bitcoin is concerned and, you know, how we should respond to it, gold and silver and investments. And, so you don't want to miss that tomorrow. I try to bear us in on things that I think are of grave importance or certainly things that are hot topics. Would that be the right term? And, you know, I posted those pictures. Was that yesterday? I posted the pictures of the wildfires in California and how they were so sporadic and burnt buildings and didn't burn trees. And now, man, all you can do is just Google. Energy directed energy. Just Google directed energy. And you're going to find out that, man, we live in, wow. What times we live in. But the average Christian, I use that term lightly, the average Christian has no idea what's going on around them. And I get up in the morning. I was up at 5 o'clock this morning and I do my usual routine here in the morning. And I'm going through stuff and I'm looking at stuff and researching stuff. And I'm saying, daggone, we need to know about that. Dang, we need to know about that. Oh, my goodness, they need to know about this. Oh, we need to know about this. Oh, we need. And so I get burdened with all this stuff that I'm seeing that just connects the dots. And then I stop and think how much the average Christian thinks I'm a kook. They think I'm a kook. And I mean, I don't care that they think I'm a kook. I'm used to that, okay? But how are we ever going to win? How are we ever going to win when Christians can't understand what's going on around us? How can we ever win? And I remember back when Jesus, I don't know where it is, just came into my head. I got another scripture, Jared. You can find Luke 16 for me here in a second. I want to share something out of Luke 16. When Jesus himself said, to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I think that's in Matthew. To be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Speaking to believers. And I thought, well, that's odd. Wise as a serpent? I don't know about you. I don't think of a snake as being wise. I don't think, when I think of the serpent, I think of the devil. I think of things that aren't good. I don't think of the devil as being wise. But the Lord said, be wise as a serpent. Wise as a serpent. I think of an owl being wise or a fox. Or why didn't the Lord say, be wise as your grandfather? Wise as a serpent. Then began to ponder on that and think about this. And I don't know if this is thus say the Lord, but I think the Lord's warning us at that time. He says, listen, guys, you're living in a fallen world. If you want to see how to operate in this fallen world, watch the serpent. Be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Understand how he operates, and don't be afraid to use some of the same techniques he does, but don't do it in harm. Don't do it in dishonesty, but have wisdom. Have wisdom. And I want to take you back again to the very, this stream of consciousness here a second, okay? Thou shalt not lie, they tell us. That's not what it says. That's not what the Ten Commandments say. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Is it ever okay to lie? Boy, that would be a can of worms.
Well, not right. David lied to Saul a bunch or whatever, some foreign king anyway. David would go out and whip up on the anti-Israelis or whoever, and then he'd come back and say, "Hey, I've been out there fighting on Ziklag or whatever it is back." Just I can't remember exactly where the scripture is, but David told lies all the time to some people, and he it was credited at that time. It was credited to him as being wise.
Hey Jared, guys, where's the Ten Commandments? Where is that? Exodus, is that 12 or Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments, where are they? I want Jared to pull that up. Or Jared, I want to go to the scripture. I think it's Exodus 12:20. I think. Isn't that crazy? We don't know that.
Okay. Well, I think where the Bible calls Ten Commandments isn't either one of those two places. That's what man
Exodus
calls
20.
Ten Commandments.
Exodus 20. Don't get me in that one, Larry. I hear you. Let's go to Exodus 20. Exodus
19.
Hey, welcome back, Dale. Did you have a good break? I guess that was a yes, you did.
Oh, me?
Yeah. Did you have a good day?
Oh, brother. I was on the ship, and it just so happens it was on the very day that I got saved 28 years ago, brother. It was Holy Ghost experience.
Good, man. I want to take my wife on one of those things. Jared, I'm in
Come with us.
All right. We'll talk about that afterwards. Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are. Or the ones that were quoted to, or the ones that were written on stone. And let's go to verse 16. Can you pull that up? You are pulling up it. Boy, I can't believe I'm talking about this. I got so much good stuff I want to give you over here. Look at this. Now, Exodus 20, this Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord hath given thee. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Actually, I believe that's murder. I believe that's what it is. Because the Bible says there is a time to kill, so the Lord's not confused. There's a time to kill. Somebody's coming to rape your daughter, that's the time to kill. Somebody's coming to kill your grandbaby, that's the time to kill. Come on, we're smart enough to figure that out. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, that doesn't say thou shalt not lie, guys. It doesn't say that. It says, first of all, hey Larry, who's your neighbor?
Your relative who is close by.
Your relative who is close by. So this doesn't mean, oh man, well, this is a can of worms. Now they're going to start calling me a heretic, but I'm just reading and I'm just thinking. Do not bear false witness against your, don't do anything dishonestly that's going to harm your neighbor. The relative, friend, relative is close by. Is that what it says, Larry? Right? Was it okay for King David to lie? Is it okay for me if they break into my house and the guys pull up in the black SUVs and they break into my house and they ask me, where is your wife? And I've got her hidden downstairs in the closet. Do I say she's not here? Is that a lie? Is it ever okay to tell something that's not true? Now, guys, I'm telling you. I read this and I use common sense. I would lie to protect my grandbabies. Is there anybody watching right now that wouldn't lie to come on, somebody say, oh no, I wouldn't, coach. I'm far too righteous and far too pure. I would never lie.
But
I would.
And did with his wife. I would.
Why? Because remember this, all of the commandments are protective. They're all designed for protection. So the real focal point on this commandment that we just read is against thy neighbor. It's not on bearing false witness. It's against thy neighbor. When you purposely lie to your neighbor for your own advancement, that is a sin. Don't do that. But is it okay for me to lie to protect my neighbor? I think it is. So anybody want to argue with me on that? Because, see, I heard somebody say the other day, this is Judge Roy Moore Day. I'm kind of heading that way, okay? I want to scream on Facebook. I do scream on Facebook. I want to scream more on Facebook. When I hear people say, well, Judge Moore is not worthy of the office if he's lying about what he did, I want to grab him and I want to slap him upside the stinking head. Because Judge Moore is trying to infiltrate an ungodly system. And Judge Moore, the stakes in this campaign are so great for the cause of Christ. And Judge Moore is being lambasted by the holier-than-thou Christians who think it says we can never lie. And that is not what that says. In fact, it's best to lie if it advances the kingdom of God. Uh-oh, there I said it. There I said it. Can I show you why? Let's go to, maybe you guys can help me work through this. Luke 16. Yes, yes, go to Luke 16. Yes, go.
Just mark this down. 1 Samuel 27, 6 through 12 is the story where David goes out and beats up on a bunch of non-Jews and comes back and tells the king that he's currently kind of serving under, that he went out and whooped up on the Jews, and the king believed him, and boy, that was counted for real good stuff.
Okay. So he advanced the kingdom by being dishonest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody else trying to jump in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Proverbs 6:16. Check there.
Proverbs.
Starting there. The seven sins of the wicked.
Let me find. I'm trying to find Proverbs here all of a sudden, Don. Jared, we got you bouncing all over the place. It's okay. It's okay. This is all important. We got to tear down some idols, man. We got to tear down some idols before we can rebuild it. Proverbs, the Psalm, Proverbs. There you are. 6:16. The 16, does the Lord hate ye? Seven are abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Okay? So in my mind, it's the same thing. And we can go through several different times in Proverbs, the Lord says that there are five things he hates, and there's six things. He does this repeatedly. I think what we have to understand, the end doesn't justify the means. But if we are in war, when we were fighting, help me out here, on D-Day, didn't our generals give deception to the enemy? Didn't our generals give the impression that we were going to invade one way and we invaded another? I think so. Were they wrong to do that? Jared pulled up the question, is it ever right to lie? The answer, the Bible nowhere presents an instance where lying is considered to be the right thing to do. The ninth commandment prohibits bearing false witness. Unless a lying tongue and a false witness who pours out lies is due to seven abominations. See, I don't think that's the same thing. I'm sorry, I don't think that's the same thing. There are at least two instances in the Bible where lying produced a favorable result. For example, the lie that the Hebrew midwives tell Pharaoh seems to result in the Lord's blessing on them, and it probably saved the lives of many Hebrew babies. Another example is Rahab's lie to protect the Israelite spies. It's important to know, however, that God never condones these lies. Despite the positive outcome of these lies, the Bible nowhere praises the lies themselves. Corey Ten Boom goes into all that. I don't get bogged down on this, okay? What's the point I'm trying to make? Luke 16. Let's go to Luke 16. I think that's it. Lord, is that where it is? Yes. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddies. Just starting 16:1. Because we could spend a month on this right here. Just on this right here, we could spend a month. Go ahead, Joe.
And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward.
I'm going to have to get rid of you.
Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed.
He said, if I, I'm going to lose my job here. Go ahead.
I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. Then the Lord commended the unjust steward.
Wait, look, my guys, don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is an unjust steward. This isn't some righteous guy, okay? This is an unjust steward. Go ahead, Joe.
And the Lord commended the unjust
steward. Hold it, Joe. Before you go, also note that this is not the Lord God who commended him.
Thank you, Larry.
The unjust steward.
His boss.
Right.
Yes.
And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light.
Okay, there it is. There it is. There it is. There it is.
Now, there is where Jesus gives credit to the lying, cheating, unjust steward, saying he's smarter than you guys are.
Because this lying, unjust steward understood the way the world operates. Judge Roy Moore is trying to infiltrate an ungodly system. Can't we see this? He's trying to infiltrate an ungodly system, and we see Christians demanding he not lie. When that's not what the Ten Commandments say. That's not what it says. It says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Judge Moore is...
Hey, Coach, can I point out one more thing here?
Yeah.
This is not a parable. It may be listed in the parable books and on the parable list at the back of the concordance and everything, but this is not a parable. First of all, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, directly to them, and he did not speak to them in parables. He told them, he spoke to them straightly. And Jesus says there was a certain. That's a specific. That fellow existed. That situation took place.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks. So before we go any further here, listen, folks, I am not telling you, this is not the right to do wrong, okay? This is the right. Football is all deception. It's all faking who you gave the ball to and taking the ball around another direction. It's the way the game is played. In fact, if we see somebody during a football game do a great fake, we say, oh, man, he's a good player. What a fake. Why? Because he's playing within the rules as the rules are set up. And the problem that we're having in American Christianity is we're taking the righteous rules of God, and then we are going into an ungodly system and trying to play by a different set of rules. And the Lord says, that you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Wise. Look how the others do it. Don't hurt anybody when you do it. advance the gospel, advance the kingdom, be wise in how you do it. That's the way I read it. Judge Roy Moore, as I've said 100 times, I don't care what he did 40 years ago. For Christians to expect him to come clean publicly now. Oh, I'm not going to win. No matter how this comes out, I'm not going to win it. I'm just not. We're 20 minutes into it already. I want to show you some stuff. Anybody want? Hey, Jared, click on Antonio Gramsci. Click on Antonio Gramsci. He's one of the leaders of the Rule for Radical Saul Alinsky class. Here's what Gramsci said. He said, the civilized world has been thoroughly saturated by Christians for 2,000 years. Any country grounded in Christian values cannot be overthrown until those roots are cut. But to cut the roots, to change culture, a long march through the institution, education, government, and religion is necessary. Only then will power fall into our laps like ripened fruit. So Judge Roy Moore is trying to enter into a battlefield where there are no rules, lying, stealing, throat-cutting, corruption, and we want him to be pure as a wind-driven snow, when in fact he is our champion for all things righteous in him. See, guys, we do not understand the battle that's raging around. We don't get it, okay? Yeah, we don't get it. Yes, Rod.
There's a comment on the Linda Studer. I don't know if you saw it, but her comment was, Corrie ten Boom lied when the Nazis came to their home.
Right.
No one is more Christian community than Corrie ten Boom, but she lied when the Nazis came to their home when they were hiding Jews. So this is a healthy discussion.
Roger, you would lie to protect Gracie, wouldn't you?
Hell yes.
Yes, you would. Now, not to keep her out of trouble, maybe. I would never lie. Well, I think it through. I would never lie for personal gain, for personal. Right? I never would. Hey, Roger, you are in a profession, brother, that requires lying. In fact, the profession you're in, your client is allowed to lie. And the other side has to prove that he's not lying. Lying is accepted in this evil, worldly system that we are in. Lying is accepted. So we have to understand to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove as we operate in this worldly system. Does anybody think I'm really missing it? Or does anybody think I'm really right?
No, actually. No, I think you're right, brother. My question is of those who want to be the holier than thou art about Roy Moore and what you're speaking. I mean, just flip the coin on them. If they had a child and there was a gun placed to their head, you want me to lie to spare your child, or would you just want them to pull the trigger? They might say, oh, no, yeah, to lie to spare their child.
Sure they would. And I, what kind of dad would I be if I didn't? What kind of man would I be if I just said, oh, yeah. Oh, listen, I cannot tell a lie. I'm George Washington chopping down the apple tree. Was that Abe Lincoln? One of them. I cannot tell a lie. There are people hidden here, and 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 there are people hidden here. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to the Moore thing for a second. I understand your premise about the 40 years ago, but I do think that there are times, and I'm not talking about salvation, ability to stand up in church with past sins, but you know, if you've got a guy that's a 3-time Chapter 7 bankruptcy guy, I don't know. I just don't know if I want him running the books. You know what I'm saying? That might eliminate him. Now,
right.
I don't question his salvation. I don't question his restoration, his redemption, the blood, any of that. But our actions can disqualify us, biblical mandate, salvation. But you know, I probably don't want the three-time bankruptcy guy being the county auditor. It, you know, there's a consequence at times. Now, with Judge Moore, for me, it's, you know, it's 40 years ago. Does these allegations that are not proven, that are accusation, the evilness of what world he's playing in, it doesn't warrant a complete elimination from public office, in my humble opinion.
It doesn't warrant anything. They're allegations. Is he innocent until proven guilty or not?
And until he, see, here's where Christians are dropping the ball. He does not have an he does not have a moral obligation. I'm telling you, he does not have a moral obligation to tell everybody the whole truth about that. He's not under oath. He's not in a court of law. It ain't none of their business. It's gossip until charges are brought. It's gossip. Okay. That's where I'm coming down with it. Here's what I want you to see. Okay. Jared, pull up on the screen. It says here, this is Judge Moore last night. Go to the it says Judge Moore 1630. Judge Moore, if you got, there's a whole speech here. It's about 25 minutes. We're going to watch it all. But I want you to watch this because here, Christians. Hey, Christian. Let me tap on the window there. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, Christians. We talk about a cultural war. We talk about the lying left and everything that's going on with the lying left. We talk about won't anybody stand up. We talk about all this stuff over and over. And we get a guy who's willing to stand up and take the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And he's not pure enough for Christian. He's not pure enough for us, see? Because he is trying to now walk into an ungodly system and advance the kingdom of light. And we can see that they don't want him to. They spent the Republican Party spent $30 million trying to keep him out. His own party spent $30 million trying to keep him out. Now, I'm going to show you here, boys and girls. Hey, Jared, pull it up there. I want you to listen to this. Yes. Yes, George.
You know, we're getting fooled. People are getting fooled on Judge Roy Moore. When really, they're not even concerned about.
They're wiser than us, George. The children of this world are wiser than us. Go ahead.
And they're not concerned about the treason of people like Barack Hussein Obama. Isn't that crazy?
It's unbelievable. And we're seeing a Holy Ghost infiltration here, if you will. A Holy Ghost infiltration by Judge Moore. And we can't even see it because he's wanting to speak truthful. Tell us the truth. Come clean. Oh, made my blood boil. So last night, this entire speech is worth hearing, okay? I was going to play it all, but I'm not. But listen to me. All you purer than the wind-driven snow Christians out there, here's what the battle's about. Jared, start this thing at 16 minutes and 30 seconds, and you tell me, is this God's man or not? Go ahead, Jared.
And just ignore what they believe. I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe in my character, don't vote for me. The differences between my opponent and me are vast. Abortion, he favors full term. I want to overturn Roe versus Wade because it was unconstitutional when they made it. He goes further than the United States Supreme Court with regard to right to life. Transgender rights. He believes in transgender rights. In the military, in their bathrooms, and then says they support children. Same-sex marriage. He thinks I'm a bigot. He thinks that because I favor traditional marriage ordained of God, that that's the wrong position. The people of Alabama don't believe that. In health care, he believes that we should increase Obamacare, which will increase our rates, diminish our services. I believe we should repeal Obamacare. I believe the federal government can't run the veterans' hospitals. How are they going to run our entire health care system? Immigration. He considers it wrong to make them carry cards. He considers it right to let them continue the immigration system that we had under Obama. I'm in favor of the RAISE Act, which Jeff Sessions has helped push, which would restrict immigration, and we can go to it. One of the biggest differences between us, I do not support federal involvement in the education systems of this state. Common Core should be eliminated. In our military, I would increase the strength of the military. I know the military. I love the military. I served in the military in Vietnam. I know what we need in the military. And if we do not have a strong defense, our peace is subject to the terrorists overseas.
Time out, Jared. I want you to ask you this question while you continue to listen to this. Would we think it would be wrong for the American government to lie to the enemy in order to defeat him in war? Would we think that would be wrong? Can somebody explain to me why it would be wrong to not come clean with the enemy in this war that we're seeing for this culture? That Judge Moore has to tell the truth about everything that's ever happened in his life, but yet our military generals are allowed to lie and deceive, and we're okay with that? We're confused. Go ahead. Keep going, Jared.
Philosophy has always been, since the Academy, duty, honor, country. These three hallowed words reverently dictate what we can be, what we ought to be, what we will be. They are your rallying points to build courage when courage seems to fail, to regain faith when there seems little cause for faith, and to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. I want to make America great again with President Trump. I want America great, but I want America good, and she can't be good until we go back to God. One nation under God. You know, many years ago, I wrote a poem. It's called One Nation Under God. And it's about returning to that Creator God upon which our rights were founded. You know, in the days of Hosea, Jeremiah, the same thing happened to their countries, that people got so arrogant because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Well, we're doing the same thing. I can't find my notes, so I have to do it from memory. One nation under God was their cry, indeed their declaration. Upon the laws of nature and of nature's God, they built a mighty nation. But unlike mankind before them, who had walked this earth and saw, these men would never question the sovereignty of God. That all men were created was a truth self-evident, and to secure the rights that God gave us was the role of government. And should any form of government become destructive of this end, it was their right, indeed their duty, a new one to begin. So with the firm reliance on divine providence for protection, they pledged their sacred honor and sought his wise direction. They even lifted up an appeal to God for all the world to see and vowed their independence forever to be free. But I'm glad they're not here with us to see the mess we're in. How we've given up our righteousness for a life of indulgent sin. When abortion is no longer called murder, and when sodomy is deemed a right, then good is now called evil, and darkness is now called light. And no longer does man see a need for God when he's in full control, for the only truth, self-evident, is in the latest poll. But with man as his own master, we fail to count the cost. Our precious freedoms vanish, and our liberties are lost. Our children are told they can't pray in school. And when they teach them evolution, why can't they see the fear of God is the only true solution? Our schools have become a battleground, while all across the land, Christians just shrug their shoulders, afraid to take a stand. But from the grave, you can hear their voices cry. The victory's already been won. Just glorify the Father as did his only Son.
and when our work on earth is done and we've traveled where you've trod, you leave the land we left to you, one nation under God. You know, as I think about the many Americans, how many veterans we've gotten here? Just raise your hands. Look around you. Look around you. You know, there's been so many that have given their life for this country. They're gone. Our country's changing. What we say here, in the words of Lincoln, the world may little note nor long remember what we say, but we should never forget what they did. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought there at Gettysburg stood for. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take an increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. May God bless you, the state of Alabama and the United States of America. Thank you.
You run into Christians who say 40 years ago, whatever he did or didn't do 40 years ago, should take this paragon of virtue away from us. To me, it's just, I don't even, can somebody help me here? Can we not see? Can we not see that in all of America today, I'm sorry, in all of America today, if God and the devil were picking teams, Judge Roy Moore would be God's first draft choice. Can we not see that? Jump in here, Dale. I think it was Dale. Jump in here.
No, I think it's George. Hey.
Go ahead, George. I'm sorry.
Coach, you know what? I think it's absolutely fine that Christians that want to hold Judge Roy to that standard do that, as long as they hold themselves to that standard. But I'll bet you not a one of them is holding themselves to that standard. So really, that's being hypocritical, isn't it?
Hey, George, I'm an unconvicted felon. I've said that over and over and over. Multiple felonies I've probably done in my life. Multiple.
Amen. Me too.
And I understand by the grace of God, whatever reason, I can't explain why I got away with it. I don't know. But I'll be daggone if I'm going to go stand up, go down to say I'm going to run for county commissioner and then go down there and stand on the street corner and tell everybody all my sins in the past. That I did this and I did this and I did this and I did all this. Are you kidding me? And so we get these allegations, whether they're true, whether they're not, they're 40 years old. And can you believe, folks, listen, here's the real story. We can't even see the manipulation of the evil one in the minds of Christians. We can't even see it. We can't even see how the devil uses religion. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Apparently not everybody agrees with him.
That's well, exactly hey, it. Hey, Romans 3:4. Let God's word be true in every man, including those who want to throw Judge Roy Moore under the bus. I wonder how many skeletons they have in their closet. Many of them.
Damn,
you know, they're whitewashed tombs.
Why would we get rid of our best player? What? We got rid of our best player because he didn't turn his homework in 40 years ago? I know it's a little deeper than that.
Coach, it's abundantly easy to see how the devil is using, quote, religion and, quote, Christianity to defeat true Christians. All
yes,
you got to do is stand on any corner and look around and see the satanic social club calling itself a church and watch what they are doing and what they're not doing.
Amen. And Alabama is the heart and soul of the deplorables. Alabama are God-fearing people, which is what we used to be. And here's a guy carrying the banner, and we want to get him out of there.
I wonder what they would do in the days of Paul, you know, how they would have treated Paul. You know, he was a murderer, and he was the chief of of all sinners. But yet they would react the same way. I mean, it's very grievous for people to think this way. Roy Moore is trouble for Washington D.C. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think he's you know, Donald Trump came in and said you can't drain it till you pull the plug. Roy Moore's the one that's going to pull the plug on the swamp.
And see, Dan, listen, folks. Roy Moore is the absolute antithesis of Donald Trump. He is everything the conservative right said they wanted. Judge Moore, he is everything they wanted in a president of the United States. And they are being deceived and led astray by the accusations of the left to the point where, he's not good enough either. If Judge Moore isn't good enough, who is? He lost his job twice for standing for what he believes in, for standing for biblical values. You see how easily we're swayed? Hey, Mark, is Mark Trump on here? See, this shows how easily we can be manipulated.
Hey, Coach.
Artificial intelligence and propaganda. Can't you see how easy we're being manipulated? Yes, jump in.
Time for everything is class. I never say this word properly. Esclastices 3:1-8.
Ecclesiastes.
Thank you.
Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. Jared will have it up here for us in a second. We got a bug flying in there. A mosquito! It's 10 degrees outside. What's that all about? Ecclesiastes 3:10-8, you say, or 1-8?
1-8.
The old turtles. Turn. To everything there's a season. The time to every purpose under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill, time to heal. Time to break down, a time to build up. Time to weep, and a time to laugh. Time to mourn, a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. We're in the midst of all this. We're in the midst of this cultural change that's going on in the church. See, that's what I said when I got up this morning. There's so many things as that. How come they don't talk about this? How come this isn't brought up in the church? And how come this isn't brought up in church? And how come people are not aware of this? And how come they're not aware of this? Jared, go down. Where did I put it? I sent it to a different one, Jared. It's 5 minutes, but it's worth it. Again, for those of you who are just getting in, it says Rules for Radicals. It's a 5-minute video. And again, guys, watch this 5-minute video and you tell me yes or no, this is what they are doing to us. Okay? Go ahead and play it, Jared. It says, if you're wondering as to why this administration is attempting to divide through divisive means, you might take a look at history and see for yourself that the abuses of the tyrant King George towards our founding fathers were very similar as to what's taking place today. It was all being contrived in an attempt to bring forth domestic insurrection. Domestic insurrection! Nothing more and nothing less. This is Bradley Dean, by the way.
Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals, master to Barack Hussein Obama, rightly said, lest we forget an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively, he at last won his own kingdom, Lucifer. If you remember correctly, friends, it was Barack Hussein Obama who rightly said,
we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
So what we need to do is we need to go to Barack Hussein Obama's master, Saul Alinsky, and check out the 12 rules for radicals and see if we can't find these rules being played out in the face of the American people. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood.
Rule 2.
never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. Organizations under attack wonder why radicals don't understand the real issues. This is why. They avoid things which they have no knowledge.
Rule 3.
Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. Is this what you're seeing today, America?
Rule 4.
Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, send 30,000 letters. You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all of their own rules.
And there we are. Rule 5.
Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions.
Rule 6.
A good tactic is one your people enjoy. They'll keep doing it without urging and come back to do more. They're doing their thing and will even suggest better ones.
Rule 7.
A tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news.
You notice how they're constantly changing attack. Rule 8.
Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. Attack, attack, attack from all sides, never giving the reeling organization a chance to rest, regroup, recover, and re-strategize.
My goodness. My goodness. Look at the things they've thrown at Trump. Rule 9.
The threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Imagine an ego can dream up many more consequences than an activist.
Rule 10.
If you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog.
Rule 11.
The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. This is cruel but very effective. Direct, personalized criticism and ridicule works. Folks, is this not
so? You look at what they did to Judge Moore, and they took who became the one who received the sympathy in the Judge Roy Moore thing? Why, the accusers. The accusers became the sympathetic one. Judge Moore put on the defensive, constantly having to defend himself. They come out with this first woman comes out. 2 days later, another woman comes out. Then they bring out more women. It's constantly attack, constantly hit with new barrage of accusations, constantly come with you with things that you cannot defend, and they back you into a corner. That's exactly what is going on. And the holier-than-thou Christians, what are we saying? Oh, well, what if he did? Well, he has to be truthful. If he's not going to be truthful from this, he doesn't deserve to be. Somebody get jump in here. I'm sorry it's so choppy.
My question is that every single one of these accusations have been filled with false information and lies, and even to where the point this lady admitted to writing into the yearbook. Now, where are these whitewashed scepters, where are they coming out against these people who lied continually?
Well, See, we have no sympathy. There's no sympathy. Think about this. There is no sympathy at all for Judge Moore. Should there be some sympathy? Wouldn't you think in a normal society, in a normal group of people, you would have some sympathy for a guy who's being falsely accused? Wouldn't you think there'd be some sympathy? It's exactly the rules for radicals. They put him on the defense with something he cannot defend, and all the sympathy, therefore, goes to the accuser. Oh, if he did that. Oh, wow. Right?
Where is the biblical Christianity is that says you don't bring a charge against a brother, and you've got unbelievers bringing charges against a believer, and we're not standing with the believer. We're throwing them on the bus. We're the same thing as that. We proclaim the prophets, but we strain it in that to make sure that we don't lose a drop of blood.
Amen. Amen. We want to hold him to the rules for radicals. What did Saul Alinsky say? Hold them to their own standards because they cannot live up to them. And look at what Christians are doing. They're holding Judge Moore to a standard that they themselves could not live up to. That's hypocritical, is it not? Christian brothers are doing it to this guy. Christian brothers are holding him to a standard that they themselves could not live up to, and they're taking down what would be our quarterback, our best player, our own teammates are trying to rule him ineligible.
And Judge Roy Moore has done more as a Christian than more of these crickets out there that have done nothing, absolutely nothing for the kingdom. They're a bunch of couch-sitting Christians who refuse to come outside of their four walls.
Okay, guys, so how's this happened to us? How has it happened that we are so deceived, that Christians are so, I don't even know the word. I don't even know the word.
Because the quote, church leadership has produced this kind of quote, Christian.
But Larry, of course, Larry, but how's that happened? How has that happened? Listen, we can say the seminaries. You guys do understand a lot of people didn't even go to seminary, right? A lot of you understand that. They didn't even go to seminary. So it's more than just the seminaries.
Well,
you go into the average evangelifish church, and I'm telling you, they are getting most issues wrong.
How did it happen is quite simple. Laziness. Each individual child of God has a responsibility to mature in the faith.
Evil men flourish.
Still telling us to press on and to mature and go on to maturity. And for the most cases, all those wannabes that want that ticket to heaven, but they don't want to have to do anything for it, and they stop trying to press forward and learn and mature, and we end up with what we've got.
Larry, I think some of them don't think they have to do anything. That's what
that's the lie Satan told them to get them in a false church so that they could live that way and think they're okay. But then when Jesus confronts them, he's going to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me."
What's that old saying? Evil men flourish when good men do nothing.
Can you guys imagine? Do you understand how critical the election of Judge Roy Moore is? You guys understand? When you look. It's like unbelievable. We're talking about one of 100 senators, one from a podunk state down in Alabama, just one little deplorable down there in Alabama. The amount of money and attention that has focused on making sure he does not get elected. Can't you look at that and see that the enemy does not want Judge Moore in office? Can't we see that? Can't we see that twice? He's been removed from office for doing the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. Can't we see that? Can't we see that the enemy has done a masterful job of making us live up to a new set of standards that they can't even live up to? Go ahead. Is that Matt?
Yeah, Dave, if I can give you a point of view here, this election is critical. There's no doubt about it. But the main thing it's critical about is where are we headed in 2018? Mm. And this is the first election that's going to show the direction of where this nation is going. Now, you keep asking the question why. It all goes back to loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. It's about loving God. We had some people sitting at our breakfast table yesterday at our bed and breakfast here, and we were talking about if you love God, if you love God right down there in Alabama, is what you do is you say, okay, God, your first principle is life. Roy Moore supports life. The other guy don't. I know, Lord, that maybe there's some things going on down there because you told us in Isaiah 1, come, let us reason together. So I know there's some issues down there, but Lord, life, you created life, and the most important thing to God is life. He created it. He's not joking around. He created life. He's the only one to take it. So when we look at that, we say, if I've got two choices, one's for life and one's against life, I vote for the person that supports life. I don't give a darn what his economic...
It's secondary. I'm with you, Mark.
I don't care what he thinks about the transit authority. I don't care what he thinks about health care. Because if I vote for God's principles, which is life, God will take care of directing that guy on the other things. Look at what happened to Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't get elected for any other reason other than the fact that he supported life. When he said those five words in that last debate, when he said, that's not okay with me. It's not okay with me. Those are the five words that got that man elected, because that was about abortion. He took the baby out of the womb, and Donald Trump said, no, that's not okay with me. Now, Donald Trump is going to be facing some issues here. If he doesn't do something to really put a stop on abortion, he's going to be in trouble, because God is going to hold him to that standard. But millions of people went to the polls, and 84% of evangelicals put Donald Trump in the White House. Hillary Clinton can't figure it out because they took God out of their platform 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
So she thought he was dead.
God comes from. But in our nation, how we got to where we are, we stopped loving God. The church stopped preaching about loving God. It's all about God's grace. It's all about him loving us. We don't have any responsibility. That's where the problem came from. And if we don't turn it around, we're going to be in trouble. But we have the opportunity as Christians to run this country. We can put morality back into it, or we're going to leave it out.
That's what I see this being about, Matt. He's leading the charge. And see, here's what they've done. They've done exactly what Jesus said, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. They have made the entire election of Judge Roy Moore about what? Whether or not he did something to a girl 40 years ago. Not pro-life, not marriage, not Common Core, not the military, not transsexual, not about any of those things. We're over here worrying about who he dangled and dangled 40 years ago. Christians are so easy to manipulate.
Not if they love God. If they love God, we cannot be manipulated.
Amen,
Matt. As long as we don't love God, as long as we keep listening to this message from the church saying it's all about God's grace and God's love for us, I had two people that yesterday were sitting at our breakfast table, but when I started telling them about the fact that God don't love everybody, they got up and left.
Yeah. Sorry, Matt.
I think I made them mad. I'm not sure, but I think I did.
I hope you did. Well, maybe they'll be thinking about it. Somebody help me bring it on here, man. We got a minute and a half. Anybody, Coach, somebody jump in here.
Yep. Coach, thing is I see hope in that they don't understand God, like you said a couple shows ago. They just don't they cannot understand. So when they say Trump's a sex, whatever, when they say Roy Moore's a sex, and then anybody who's got an ounce of reason in their brain is saying, all right, the guy who defends 10 commandments is a sex addict, whatever. The guy who's actually following through, building the wall, he's actually did the Jerusalem thing, he's a sex guy. All right, well, whenever they bring up sex, I guess I'm going to vote for that person. You know, like, I think that's what's happening, right? I mean, it's like, okay, you want to call him a rapist? All right, I'm going to vote for the rapist then, I guess.
Yeah. You understand, though. You understand how they have focused us on meaningless stuff. Meaningless stuff. And we have an opportunity to send this guy to the Senate, and we're straining at a gnat. We can't get by something concocted. Yep, true or false? 40 years ago, rather than the weightier matters of the law, which are right before us today. I'll be praying today for Judge Roy Moore. As Woody Hayes would say, the hay's in the barn. I know tomorrow morning we're going to wake up and God will be his defender. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss it tomorrow.